All right. I didn't know we'd see the newlyweds here today, and that's wonderful. I found two short things about weddings. This first one was an ad, supposedly a true ad in the paper years ago. It says, "I know it's late notice, but a friend of mine has two tickets for the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at the U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday, February 4th. They are box seats, and he paid $3,500 per ticket, which includes the ride to and from the airport, lunch, dinner, and a 400 meal tab, and a pass to the winner's locker room after the game. What he didn't realize when he bought them last year was that it was on the same day as his wedding. So if you're interested, he is looking for someone to take his place. It's at St. Paul's Church at 3 p.m. Her name is Ashley. She's 5'4", about 115 pounds, a good cook, loves to fish and hunt, and will clean your truck. She'll be the one in the white dress." This other one says, "After our friends were married, they left the church and were disappointed to see that their car looked completely normal. No one had decorated it with just married signs or tin cans or balloons or anything at all. Disappointed was not, however, the word used by the pastor who married them. You see, his car was very similar in make, model, and color as the groom's vehicle." Yep, so good to have the newlyweds here. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. On Sunday night when I drove back, about halfway home, Pastor Jennings called me, and we had such a good talk. He just happy. He's happy all the time, happy on the phone. But he said, "Yep, Joanne and I have been watching the messages online." And I said, "Brinson, has this vacation, has it been good?" He said, "Brother Spencer," he said, I can't wait to tell my people. It was the most restful spiritually, physically, emotionally." And then he said something, and I don't think he'd say this to you, but I'm sure he doesn't mind me. He said, "The people don't know that it came at the perfect time." He said, "Brother Spencer, the devil is out for our church. He is out attacking families." And he said, "I'm just glad that they felt like it was time," he said, "because Joanne and I are recharged. We're ready to get back." And, you know, I really haven't heard in all my years of ministry many churches doing that. And some churches better kind of wake up, because pastors today, it is a hard thing to pastor. We're in a different culture, a different world. And all I can tell you guys is, good job. That was a good thing you did. And, you know, you reap the benefits, don't you? Having a refreshed, charged up pastor. But he's with his mom today. And I thanked him for letting me come. He told me you were special. Just a special group. And I now, after three Sundays, today's my fourth, I can confirm that. Thank you for being so kind and listening so well. Yes, I'm going to preach at the mothers today. But I'll try to be nice. I have to be nice because I brought my wife. Remember, ladies, what I told you? If my wife comes, I have to be nicer. Just a little bit nicer. But it's good to have my wife, Dawn. May 22nd, 43 years. Married. Yep. Same woman. Actually, she deserves the martyr's crown. But I'm glad she could be here today. You know, I was thinking about that pastor friend who writes witty things. You guys might, he wrote these during COVID. Let me read you a couple. He says, "Why do I have to press one for English when you're just going to transfer me to someone I can't understand anyway?" He said, "Some, of course I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice." He says, "I'm going to retire and live off my savings. Not sure what I'll do the second week." Ladies, listen to this one. Chocolate comes from cocoa, which is a tree. That makes it a plant, which means chocolate is salad. Wouldn't it be great if we could put ourselves in the dryer for 10 minutes, come out wrinkle-free and three sizes smaller? I do not trip over things. I do random gravity checks. He says, when I was a child, I thought nap time was a punishment. Now as a grown-up, it just feels like a short vacation. I can say amen to that. Tim, this is for you and me. If God wanted me to touch my toes, He would have put them on my knees. My wife asked me if I could clear the kitchen table. I had to get a running start, but I made it. It doesn't matter how old you are. Buying snacks for a trip should always look like an unsupervised 7-year-old was given $100. Running feels great, unless you compare it to not running. I like that one. 1 minute you're young and having fun. Next you're turning down the car stereo to see better. And lastly, there's real truth to this. The more you weigh, the harder you are to kidnap. Stay safe. Eat cake. All right? Yeah. Yes, this morning I'd like to talk to the mothers and honor them and remind them this morning about how much God thinks of them. But this morning I want to have my last Sunday school and talk to you from one of my favorite parts of the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, make up the three chapters. Our Lord's first recorded message, and very powerful. The Lord Jesus, in speaking to what the Bible calls this new group of disciples, there may have been thousands by the Sea of Galilee. And as He speaks to them, I like to, and I'm only going to do one chunk, one small part of the Sermon on the Mount today, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. But basically, the whole sermon is the Lord's way of telling Christians, believers in that day, this is how you need to look at your life. During COVID, I taught at one of the churches I was helping in South Carolina, and they got a pastor. The week before I came to start with you, they called their pastor 100%, and what a victory. But I went through this with them, and I said, every time we do this, it'll take several months. I want you to remember that the way I look at the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' way of taking those Jewish people that were separating themselves from their dead Judaism and following this new Messiah. And He said, I know what your culture and I know what Judaism, unfortunately, going away from the Bible, has taught you to think and to say and how you look at your world. But I want you as a born-again believer to look at your world every day you live through God's eyes. And that's what I just want to take a little snippet and remind you that what Jesus is telling us is, and my, how appropriate today, because we live in a culture, all Christians do, no matter what country they're living in. But in America, our culture has changed so fast. You remember pre-COVID? Boy, since COVID hit and after, it just seems like we're all waking up and watching news and going, this is America? Well, the temptation, I think, for me and many of my brothers and sisters is, how should we respond to this? How do I look at the news? How do I look at my Christian life? Same way. This series is very refreshing to me, because every time I read this and get to teach it, I'm reminded in my own heart, yes, the world's trying to make you think a certain way. The world's trying to change your behavior. But as born-again people, we've been shown we don't look at the world the way the lost do. And we shouldn't respond the way the world is responding. And so today, I just want to look at verses Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Really, what Jesus is talking about in these verses is our influence. Everyone in this room that's saved, and I pray all of you know Christ as Savior, every single male, female, and those are your only two choices. Amen? That's what God said. And there's a lot of confused young people today. Every one of us needs to understand the influence we have. You may look around and say, well, he works in a giant plant. Lots of employees. He's going to have more influence than me. I'm a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter. All of us are being taught this morning that we have influence. And Jesus says that we have influence in a very interesting way. He says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Did you notice he says ye are? You're not in training to be. You're not saying, well, one day when I've been saved 10 years. No, the day you were saved, the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Messiah, God says you are now immediately salt of the earth. Now, it's interesting. When we talk about salt, we certainly don't look at salt the way they did. Back in Jesus' day, and really for millennia, salt has been so important to mankind. Certain parts of time, especially in Jesus' day, Roman soldiers were known to sometimes be paid in salt. In fact, the word salary in our English comes from the Latin root for salt. The phrase, he's not worth his weight in salt. Many believe that came from the days of Rome when they would often pay their soldiers in salt. It was considered rare. Today you can go to the store and buy salt. Cheap, isn't it? I mean, you can get a big container of Morton salt or store brand salt, and it's not more than a buck or two. But and the salt we use is very different than ancient salt. Ancient salt was, they didn't put iodine in it and process it like the salt we use. But in their day, salt was considered so valuable. Jesus said, you as believers are now the salt of the earth. So if I asked you, okay, it is valuable. Soldiers were often paid in salt. Salt mines were found all over the known world. In fact, watching a Travel Channel special on, I don't get to travel that much, so I like watching Travel Channel. But Germany, Salzburg, right, Brother Christian? Austria. He corrected me. It's not a part of Germany anymore? Oh, okay. Salzburg was found to have a giant salt mine area that the Romans found. Okay, in different parts of the world will have salt. God has made it possible so mankind would have salt in different places. But when I ask you, why would salt be so valuable? We don't consider it that valuable. In fact, most of us here, we've been told over and over by our doctors, cut back on your salt, cut back on your salt. In their day, why would salt have been so valuable? Let me hear your answers. Why don't you raise your hand? I'm glad everybody, just say your answer loud because it may be the person, another person. I came up with five or six reasons. We don't even think of this that much today. Tim?
Flavor.
Yeah, flavor. And some of you put a lot of salt on your food. I try to watch my salt content, but I love pepper. Oh, I blacken everything. My wife will say, Joel, you think you have enough pepper on that? I don't know why. Did you know pepper at one time was considered more valuable than gold when the Crusades took place? And don't let anyone ever tell you the Crusades were Christian. They had nothing to do with Bible Christianity. They were sheer thugs being paid by the Pope to go and, quote, protect the holy sites in Jerusalem. And I could teach a lot on the Crusades. They weren't New Testament Christianity, folks. Muslim people today think of Christianity as being their number one enemy. No, it was Roman Catholicism. And basically, a time in the world when popes were very powerful and could call on hundreds of thousands to go fight anywhere in Europe and over to the Far East. Did you know one of the Crusades was called the Children's Crusade? Over 100,000 children, average age of 12. Pope didn't call for this. They just got up and marched toward Jerusalem. None of them made it. They were either killed or sold into child slavery before they made it. There was a crusade called by the Pope against the Albigenses in southern France, born-again people that refused to be Roman Catholic. They literally slaughtered entire cities, and they kept records of it. I read the records to my students. These are real people. But one of the, I guess, positive things about the Crusades was when the soldiers came back, they began to bring back to Europe things that Europeans had never tasted or touched. Silk. They didn't know what it was. But the royalty loved it. Pepper. Pepper was brought over from the Far East and was so valuable, like I told you, it was worth way more than gold. Perfumes, mathematics, just all kinds of things came over from the Muslim world. So, flavor. What's something else they would have used salt for that was very important? I think that that was maybe one of the main reasons, even in our day. There are many, many farmers and people in the world preserve their meat by salting it. And so that would have been another reason. What's another reason that was very well known way back in Jesus' day? And we now kind of have modeled it after that. Can you think of it? Medicine. Medicine. Salt has always been something you put on wounds immediately to purify it. Even before they knew about germs, they knew that salt would heal a wound, prevent it from bleeding. I know salt can sting. By the way, everything we're talking about, Christianity, Christians have somewhat of that same. They add flavor. They should add a Christian flavor at work. You sit around work, and if I remember our first church plant, we tried to live very frugally. I finally had to get a second job. When we planted the second church, that was it. And one of my first church deacons ran a bread plant, Stroman's Bread, up in the northeast Pennsylvania. And he said, I know you've got three kids, and this is a good job. He said, it's hard work, but you have to join the Teamsters. I thought, okay, let me tell you, that's a rough crowd. I remember going to meetings, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, the foreman, our foreman, who was a deacon in my first church, very good Christian, he said, now, Pastor, he said, when we go to these meetings, I want you to go, but just remember, this is not a Christian church service. So, boy, did I find out fast. And I'd sit with men that were rough, and they had rough language, and the guys in my plant, they called me preacher, and they had bad language, and once in a while they'd come up and they'd try to, you know, tell me a dirty joke, and I would just start quoting scripture at them, which made them mad at first. But a number of those same guys I got to witness to. One guy who was the worst to me came up to me one night and looked very angry and said, I need to talk to you. And he backed me in my truck, my bread truck, and I thought, okay, something's going to happen. And he just started crying. And he said, I am so sorry for the way I've talked to you. He said, but I really need you to pray for me. My wife's leaving me, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, I remember standing, it's 2 in the morning. When bread guys start, they start at 2 in the morning loading their truck. I remember standing there, and this is my thought, Lord, thank you for giving me the strength not to punch this guy's lights out all this time. Because I never knew I'd have this opportunity. I'm talking about influence. By the way, don't look at me as an example. The truth is, all of us are saved people in whatever world we live in. And we all have a world. Neighbors, friends, workmates. All of us have influence. A lot of us don't think of it that way. But every day you and I get up, and every day we go through the business of our life, God's saying to us, as he said to them, remember every day, no matter what the world's trying to do to you or your job's trying to do to you, you just remember you have a greater ministry. You have influence. Preservation. Thirst. Some of you played sports, and often in football, especially during the hot days of summer and preseason, they would the coaches would send the water guys out with these tiny little pills, and they were just salt pills. And here, take this. And you hear guys say, "Coach, what is that? I don't want to take it. Take it. It's salt." Because we found out we weren't drinking enough water. And of course, when you're playing sports, especially very physically hot sports, your body will shut down. It's too late. You've already begun to fall apart. So they'd give us little salt tablets during preseason, during games, if it was real warm. You know, Christianity should create a thirst, shouldn't it? The way we live. And it's not that you go to work every day and you're with your unsaved family and you're always preaching at them. Because a lot of times your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Now, you may have shared Christ, but they watch you. And, you know, they can argue, can't they? And they have with you. They've argued about your spoken gospel witness. Maybe they've even made fun. But after you've been around them for a while, they can't argue about your life. And God, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the most valuable commodity that the lost world doesn't even know you're that important. But your Father says you're important. You're salt. Notice Jesus talks about the problem with salt. He says in verse 13, if the salt have lost its savor, its saltiness. In other words, the whatever chemical makeup it had, salt. And have you guys ever gone to a restaurant where they have the salt and pepper shaker out, and you said, pass the salt, and you turn it over, and nothing. It's like a block, a rock inside the salt shaker. It hasn't been used for years, or it got wet. Actually, what happens is, if the restaurant doesn't pay attention, salt, even if, and then you maybe take the lid off and put it on, you go, oof, that tastes bad. That salt has lost its ability to flavor food. It just makes it yucky. Jesus said in their day, as valuable as salt is, if salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. They were very careful when salt went bad to not throw it out near their gardens or out near plants. They would throw it on the pathways. And then where people would walk. That way it wouldn't hurt any green things. But here's Jesus saying, you know, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its savor, all of you know what you do with salt. You don't put it in a shaker and say, oh, we've had that salt for 20 years. No, you take it and you throw it away. That phrase has always bothered me in my personal life. God, would you ever look at my Christianity and say I'm good for nothing? None of us want to be called that by our Father. Amen? One preacher, I wrote this in the margin of my Bible years ago at the college. He preached this passage and he said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, folks, notice Jesus didn't say you are the sugar. We're not the sugar of this world. You know what I mean? We all should be kind and Christ-like. You've read your Bible like me. My Lord was never a mean man, was he? He was around mean people. But he wasn't sugar. He was salt. Jesus said the pathway is the only place for bad salt. You know, the problem with Christians today is they don't even see every day of their life as being important to God. They just kind of go through life, and I think a lot of us, because of the way the world is, we kind of stay quiet. And I'm not saying we should stand in the outside the men's bathroom at our plant and preach like John the Baptist, all right? But I'm saying we've gotten to where, and COVID really knocked us silly. It kind of pushed us back into our homes and made us, well, I don't know that I really can talk about Christianity. I'm not telling you any more than you should tell me, Joel, when you get up, this is what you wear. This is how fast you drive. This is what you say to everyone. No, I'm just saying Jesus in general said, because we're all so different. we go to different places of work. Some of us are retired. But all of us, for all time, Christians needed to get up and say, Lord, whoever I meet today, help me to have Christ-like influence in my life. I used to take the students in personal evangelism, and we'd have 60, 70 students. And the first day, I'd point out that we're all missionaries, or we should be. And our church, first church we planted, we had a sign in the back. And I've seen other churches do this. As you leave the church, it said you are now entering the mission field. And the truth is, we really are. Other than our gathering as a family of God, when we exit the doors, we meet so many different lost people. And so I started with the front row and went down and up and down. And I said, I want you to give your name, where you're from, and tell me where you're a missionary to. And they kind of looked at me. I said, in other words, tell me where you're from, or if you've gotten a job in town. And so the students began to say, well, my name is Joel Spencer. I'm a missionary to McDonald's. And then after a while, the kids started picking up the thought, you know, I do go to places where Brother Spencer can't just walk in and order a Big Mac and start preaching the gospel. But I work there, and through an 8-hour shift, I talk to a lot of the young people in different ways. They notice I'm different. My name is John Doe. My name is Susie Smith. I'm a missionary to Chick-fil-A. I'm a missionary to JCPenney. And when we got done with the class, I said, see, every one of us, whether we think about it or not, every one of us has influence. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But then notice he goes on to say, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, a lot of the ladies here probably use light at times to decorate. Just pretty lights and they, you know, outside lights. But this is not a hard question. What, back in Jesus' day and still today, what is the purpose of light? It wasn't decorative. You guys will get it. Just talk out loud. Yeah. And does anyone here, I mean, the Bible says men love darkness. It didn't mean, you know, no light. That was talking about spiritual darkness. Men in general love sin. And they like to do their sin when it's dark. But I got to tell you, the older I get, I need more light. Some of you getting older, like, it's like, wow, I can't believe how bright I've got. I just put a request in with the maintenance guys that in the classrooms I teach, they have nice big lecterns. I said, can you please put lighting on my lectern? Just because I can only make the letter so big. You ought to see my message today. I literally went and hand-printed the notes so I could see. You see that? You say, what's happening, Brother Spencer? It's called old age. And I'm trying to fight glasses. And you know why they had light and why light was so important? To dispel darkness. We walk in, turn a switch. We don't even think about how hard it was to get that light to light, because it's not hard. In Jesus' day, light would be very important. He says, whereas salt is internal. And I think that's what he was emphasizing. Our quiet, day-to-day Christian living with the Spirit of Christ and trying to be kind to those that are not kind at work, trying to work in a way that honors Christ. And you'd be surprised how many places in the New Testament talk about work. Because Christians back then, they kind of had bad attitudes. And so the apostles talk a lot about Christians going the extra mile to be the best worker. Well, we're salt. Even when we don't think we're salt, we're salt. We're salt all the time, 24 hours a day. But especially when we're around those that are lost or those that are living a Christian, but they're living carnally, we have influence. You have influence just being together today. Hopefully when we leave today, you will say, boy, it really was a blessing to be at church, to be around our church family, because you even influence each other. You influence the children. I watched those kids walk out and walk out and walk out. I don't know how many kids you have. You have a lot, and that's a blessing. Many of you have more influence on those kids than you know. I remember growing up in church, some of the old dear saints. I say old, they probably weren't in their 30s or 40s. But I just used to, as a little boy, I thank God for my teachers and thank God for the youth workers when I was a teenager. The influence. But when we leave this building, our influence becomes magnified in a lost world. Our light, which is outward, becomes so important because of the darkness of this world. You know, it's amazing to me how people that are lost can spot you as a Christian. Have you ever had people walk up to you, maybe at work, and they'll say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Have you ever had that? Who was just telling me, Dan, about a couple, they were standing in line. Maybe it was at the college. I get confused. I'm getting older. They were telling me they were standing in line at a restaurant, and a couple behind them said, who was it just telling us? It was Dan, wasn't it? When you first came, all the families that invited you to church? No, it wasn't Dan, wasn't it? Was it Dan and Edie when they first moved here? I think you, yeah, Edie was telling us, remember? You lived up Michigan, but you came down here, and all these people that one day were inviting you to their church from your neighborhood. Maybe they didn't think Dan and Edie were Christians. I don't know. But yeah, but I'm glad Dan and Edie found this church. I was standing in a Walmart. I had to run from the house about 6 miles, and it was summer. I had been mowing, and a part of my hose or something broke. So I'm standing in Walmart. I'm not a pretty sight after I'm done mowing. I have a walk-behind mower. It's not a big yard, but I am, and it was when I was 60 pounds heavier, okay? I'm sweating from head to foot. I have jeans, my shirt, and I'm just in there. I go the back way through the garden department. I'm standing there trying to find that part so I can get home. And some fella, he walks by, and he's just standing there. Older gentleman, bibbed overalls, and he's staring at me, and finally says, "Excuse me, you a preacher?" And I'm thinking, what? I, you know, no sport coat, no tie, no. And I said, "Well, yes, I am. How did you know?" And the guy just said, "I can tell." And he walked away. He didn't say, "Have a good day." And I didn't have a chance. But you know something? It made me realize, if God knows who we are, and Satan knows who we are, the world needs to know. By the light of our mouth, the light of our life, we're different. Remember, they live in darkness all the time. They go to bed in darkness. They wake up in darkness. Now, they're not dumb people. They're very smart people. And some of them are very moral people. And some of them love their wife. And some of those ladies love their kids. But every day of their life, they live ultimately in darkness. They may be able to see this far. Some may be lost and see that far. But folks, they live in darkness. They cannot understand the glories of the things that God's shown us in His Word. You know, we not only can see a lot further, but we can see all eternity, can't we? Because of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only, you've heard it said, the only Bible most people will ever read is you. The only gospel, the only Jesus they may ever meet is you. That's not sacrilegious, folks. That is what Jesus was saying as He began His public ministry. He told those that were following Him and trusting in Him, "Listen, you are different than anyone on this planet. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." Jesus made this comment, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." A candlestick was just nothing more than an elevated piece of wood or metal where you could put the candle higher so its light could shine brighter. He said, "What good would a candlestick be if you lit it and then put a cover over it?" But that's what most of us do, don't we? We live our life and think, I'm not looking forward to work today. I'm not looking forward to sitting next to that work person, meeting that teacher in my class that are lost. But wait a minute. Don't put the cover over your light before you even get out of the house. Just say, Lord, I'm going to need your help because you know the darkness that I walk into. You know, no one sees the darkness of your world better than you because you have the light of Christ inside of you. And as you look through his eyes at the world, you and I need to become broken. The reason people act so evilly and so crazily is they literally live every day in darkness. They have no hope. But then they see a peaceful person walking through that darkness and they say, how come you don't do this? Or how come you don't talk like this? Or how come you don't react like this? We don't have to brag. We can say, because the light of Christ came into my life. And I have the light of Jesus Christ. And he offers it to the whole world. Can I tell you about him? And maybe you've tried and they cuss at you or they laugh at you. Don't forget your salt too. They walked away that day and thought, listen, I've had in my life growing up, out of ministry in the secular world, I had people that purposely went after me and tried to get me to swing at them, to lose my testimony. And I wanted to. I wanted to take care of it. But the Holy Spirit said, no, Joel. Because if you act like them, you're going to lose your saltiness immediately. Or Joel, yes, I knew you were going to have this happen. A bunch of darkness came at you. But stand your ground and shine with Christ-like light. Because, see, they may laugh and they may cuss and walk away. But guess what just happened to them? They just had a flash of light. Wow, she did not yell at me. He did not swing at me. He didn't do the things I tried to get them to do. What's wrong with them? They're different. As they go back into their world of darkness, their friends of darkness. Listen, all I'm going to tell you, and I'm done, is all of us in this room that are saved and breathing, we have influence. And some of you, really all of you, have influence in ways I don't have. You go places, you work at places, you have neighbors. I can't enter their life and have the influence you have. Any more than you could come up to Forest City, North Carolina. And go places that my wife and I go, have neighbors that we know. But everywhere God's had his children, he's always wanted them to remember. Don't fall for what the world's trying to do to you. They make fun of you. They try to intimidate you. Remember, you are. You don't become. The day you were saved, you are the salt of the earth. Every day you wake up and you're given a new gift of life. You walk out that door, remember, you may not feel this way, but everywhere you go in a world of darkness, you're the light. You're the light. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. People go, she's different. He's different. Many of you have a testimony that I've only got to eat with several families, but pretty much I love meeting new church people, new Christian brothers and sisters, because I'll say to them, I did this to Christian and Becky, remember? I said, tell me how you got saved. Oh, my word. That was worth the whole trip. Just hearing how they got saved. And I could do that with all of you, because all of you and me, we all have stories about how the light came into our life. I'm here to tell you as a brother in Christ, we need to take that light every day we walk into a dark world. And please remember, it is dark. And it's a little scary, but we are the light of the world.